As we approach the 4th of July, here's a little historical quiz. Who won the French and Indian War?
The French and Indians?
The Indians.
The Americans. The Indians.
Keep French. Going. Somebody else.
The British.
That's right. It was the British. And if you were guessing along with those high school students in New York City, perhaps it's because the French and Indian War is often skimmed over in school and rarely makes prime time on the History Channel. Well, that may be about to change. Tomorrow is the 250th anniversary of the unofficial start of the French and Indian War, and historians and military buffs are trying to spread the word. They say this war made America possible. NPR's Robert Smith reports.
The British Redcoats are moving in a tight formation outside the walls of Fort Ticonderoga in upstate New York, and they're out for revenge. In this reenactment, it's 1758, and the French forces have taken over key parts of the Ohio River Valley and Lake Champlain. Major James Downey is leading a battalion of British colonists from New York State.
The French are invading us. Next stop after Saratoga, or after Ticonderoga, after Fort Edward is Albany. After that, it's New York. If they take New York, it's over.
Don't worry. The French never made it that far. In fact, by the end of the French and Indian War, the French army will be smashed, and the British will dominate North America. But it's not this clash of empires during the 18th century that's drawn 900 people here to reenact the battle. It's a chance to experience the struggle that would eventually lead to the birth of the United States of America.
French and Indian War was the war that decided whether we speak French or English. It was the beginning of the American Revolution. This is where they got the idea of becoming a straight American nation. We didn't need the British.
Fort Ticonderoga is on a bluff above Lake Champlain, a perfect place to control the inland waterway, but also a beautiful spot for a bunch of weekend history buffs to play dress-up and war. Before the battle, the reenactors set up hundreds of small tents on the fields here. The men practice their formations and loading their 18th-century reproduction muskets. Women in period dress tend to the fires. Bruce Chamberlain and Steve Pierinton are part of the 3rd Massachusetts Regiment. In real life, they're a microwave technician and a paint salesman. But they say that their civilian friends don't really understand their obsession.
I usually have a lot of explaining to do.
Yeah.
Which Indians? Which French? You know, what were they doing in New York?
I got the old...
It's the French and Indian War. Why are you guys fighting? I thought it was between the French and the Indians. Sorry.
But everyone here has some reason for picking this obscure war to devote their weekends to. For some, it was a childhood reading of The Last of the Mohicans. For others, it was a family tree they can trace back to the war. Over in the French camp, Commander Frank Molander says he just couldn't bring himself to side with the winners.
As a Boston Red Sox fan and being constantly in the role of the underdog, boy, being in a French army, you don't get any more underdog than this.
But the British victory was fleeting. Sure, they controlled vast sections of the continent, but the burden of the empire and debts from the war almost bankrupted the British crown. So they imposed a set of new taxes on the American colonies. And we all know how that turned out.
No taxation without representation. Well, what were those taxes for? Those taxes were to pay for the French and Indian War. And so all those things come to a boiling point in 1776 and beyond. And as a result of that, the British lose the colonies. And so we now have the country that we have today.
To make sure that connection isn't forgotten, states from Virginia to Maine are planning commemorations of the 250th anniversary of the war. From a planned PBS series next year that hopes to do for the French and Indian War what Ken Burns did for the Civil War, to major battle reenactments. The French, waiting on the bastions of Fort Ticonderoga, have spotted British Rangers sneaking through the brush. They fire a warning shot. And then another. Then the ranks of the British Grenadiers in their red coats and pointed hats come into view on the fields. A few thousand tourists are on the walls of the fort, peering down at a very loud and smoky battlefield. Amy Grinnell is helping to run the reenactment.
It's real gunpowder, so you want to be safe. So you have, they'll never close probably more than 30 yards away from each other.
There are skirmishes with Indians emerging out of the forest. The French make a hasty retreat, then redirect their cannons down the hill. In the end, the British withdraw, and the dead get up off the field and dust themselves off.
We're here all weekend, folks!
A Boy Scout troop from Connecticut seems unimpressed.
It was pretty good, just very small number of casualties. I found that funny. All must be pretty bad shots with the musket.
There was like 4 casualties. It was kind of, yeah, it was hilarious.
That was boring.
Why did you say it was boring?
Because barely anyone died.
For kids raised on action movies and video games, the slow, plodding nature of 18th century warfare isn't that interesting. And not everyone gets the historical lesson.
I'll give you a quick test. Who won the French and Indian War?
The French.
Back at the encampment after sunset, the British soldiers have received their special rum rations. Craig Russell admits that reenacting has its social side, but just like everyone here, he can quote a historical precedent.
Alcohol for them was their Motrin and their aspirin. It dulled the aches and the pains and so forth. And we're doing a lot of easing of our pains right now.
As the carousing goes late into the night, few seem to be giving much thought to the battlefield. Except for John Soule, the French general. He says it's easy to forget with all the costumes and socializing that thousands of men died here at Ticonderoga.
Your country was forged on blood and sacrifices of thousands of people. What we're doing here is we're giving you an accurate portrayal of what it is. It's blood, it's death, and the only glory in war is coming home alive.
With that, Soule and a makeshift fife and drum corps drawn from both sides of the camp head out into the dark Ticonderoga woods to pay their final respects to the real soldiers of the French and Indian War. Robert Smith, NPR News.